everybody. Hello, Dr. Nick. You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We got a ton of stuff to get to on the program today. Like, seriously. I got like 18 different freaking topics that we're going to be hitting. Mike Cardano joins us. We're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys' success. What's the number one reason for their success? Who's the most valuable player on that team? What about Coach Garrett? Is he he's not getting enough credit for what he's done so far this year. We put a poll question out on Twitter earlier today, and the offensive line was leading by a wide margin as far as the number one key to the Cowboys' success. Mike Cardano wants to talk about what the best division in football is, and you know, like always, I think Cardano could be wrong. I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure if he's trolling us or where he's going with this, but we all know what the best division in football is, and stay tuned, and we'll tell you what that division is. So Mike Cardano is going to join us. That's just one guy. For the love of God, shut up! The alarm works. All right. So Mike Cardano is going to join us. You want pucks? We got pucks. George Kurtz, Roto Expert. We're going to talk some hockey. Full slate of NHL games on the board tonight. We talk pucks with George Kurtz. And Dave Malinsky joins me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We got college basketball on top. We got college football tonight. A little action. My Central Michigan Chippewas, these guys are fading fast, man. Like, you know, they've been like bowl eligible for the last month. They just can't get this last win, and I'm not sure they're going to get it tonight against the Ohio Bobcats. We'll break it down with Dave Malinsky. So as you can tell, we got a ton of stuff to break down on the show. We were going to get Chris Collinsworth on the show tomorrow. Seriously, we had Collinsworth lined up, and then Collinsworth starts dropping bombs on Bill Simmons. Now, Collinsworth doesn't want to be in the middle of a media firestorm, so Collinsworth is out. Herm Edwards is in tomorrow. Pretty cool. We got Herm Edwards, the coach. We bet to win the bet. That's my analogy of him, but Herm's the best, man. Big fan of Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards will join us tomorrow. So let's kick off today's program by talking about the National Football League. 10 weeks in right now, starting to get real as the Dallas Cowboys hype is starting to get real as well. Last week, I told you guys that the Dallas Cowboys future was a bright one in correlation to Donald Trump winning the presidency. And I'm right about that because I'm always right about things, but I'm also a stupid idiot as well. And I'm a stupid idiot because I tell you guys how the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. Then I turn around and I put an obscenely large amount of money down on the Pittsburgh Steelers the other day. Well, as I stated yesterday, I didn't know that the Oregon Duck coaching staff took over Pittsburgh and they were going to go for damn 2 points all the time and they weren't going to play any freaking defense. Ben Roethlisberger now wants accountability. Who ruined your Tuesday? The Pittsburgh Steelers play on Sunday. Ruined my Tuesday. But that's besides the point. So the power rankings are out right now. All the so-called NFL media experts and their power rankings, and suddenly the New England Patriots are no longer at the top of the board. The Dallas Cowboys suddenly are the team to beat, according to the media, which spells trouble. Spells trouble. It's amazing how fast the bandwagon is empty. I saw CBS Sports today. Patriots have problems. Yeah, they got huge problems. I wish I had the Patriots problems. Patriots have problems. Everybody's on a Cowboy bandwagon right now. The odds makers don't agree. The Patriots are still plus 150 to win the Super Bowl right now, but we've been watching the ascension of the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl odds from 12 to 1 to 10 to 1 to 8 to 1, and we told you last week if they beat Pittsburgh, it's going to go from 8 to 1 to 5 to 1 right now, as the Dallas Cowboys are the second choice to win the Super Bowl. Yet, I think there's a dangerous team lurking right now that Dallas doesn't want any part of. And the Dallas Cowboys have to be careful about peaking too soon. Are they really going to run the table? I mean, look, it wasn't that long ago that the Minnesota Vikings were on the top of the heap. And the Vikings had covered 19 of the last 21 football games. I've told you guys many times, you're the guy until you're not the guy. You're the it team until you're not the it team anymore. And the Minnesota Vikings reign in the top of the National Football League League lasted about as long as that Pokemon Go craze reign did. I guess all those kids are too busy protesting Clinton's loss to be running around chasing Pokemon in the streets right now. The National Football League are a lot like apps. You know, fads come and go, and they come and go quickly. Dak Prescott says, hey, I'm not looking over my shoulder right now anymore about Tony Romo, and it's pretty clear that Dak Prescott is going to be Jason Garrett's guy down the stretch. He shouldn't be looking over his shoulder at Tony Romo, but you better be looking over your shoulder at Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Don't look now, man, but they've got their swagger back as the Seattle Seahawks go into Foxborough and beat up on the New England Patriots. An impressive win, Super Bowl revenge. Their defense starting to come together a little bit, still giving up big plays, but also making big plays. The offensive line on a scale of 1 to 10 earlier in the year was playing at about a 1. Right now, they're playing at about a 5. That's good enough when you got a stud like Russell Wilson. That offense is coming alive right now. And the Dallas Cowboys, most likely are going to have home field, but the Seattle Seahawks are right there. Now, I think we can all agree that, you know, for the most part, the 2016 National Football League regular season has sucked and sucked hard, all right? But I think we can also all agree that we got some entertaining and some interesting developments coming up right around the freaking corner. Let's do this thing. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. The show replays on Fantasy Sports radio networks at 5 o'clock Eastern and on television at 5:30, available on pretty much every device known to mankind. Go to our website for all the devices and cable networks that we are on. So Dave Malinsky is going to join us. Mike Cardano's joining us. And George Kurtz. So we got a couple of roto experts. Cardano's pretty crazy. He wants to talk some NFL football. What's the best division in football? He's got a pick for us. The Saints and the Panthers playing on Thursday. George Kurtz, roto expert, big hockey guy. We'll talk a little NHL hockey. We normally check in the NHL. I like to check in a little bit more, but it's been busy as of late. So it's been sort of every 2 weeks we check in with Kurtz. Montreal Canadiens 10-0 on home ice, and they're only 40-cent favorites tonight against the visiting Florida Panthers. I find that interesting. So we'll talk about that, but let's bring in Dave Malinsky right now. Straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can read his daily column over at pregame.com. It's called Point Blank. It's right there on the front page. Dave, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, we're not doing quite as well as most weeks. As readers of Point Blank know, we are into our Leonard Cohen tribute cycle. And yeah, we weren't going to be able to have Leonard Cohen around forever, but we had hoped.
Well, you know,
and he was the one guy, if any person on the planet was going to live forever, and we put it up for vote, maybe it's proper that it would have been Leonard Cohen.
And another Canadian icon. You and I talked about the Tragically Hip and Gord Downie and their farewell tour, and now Leonard Cohen passes away. You know, Canadian music scene really taking it, and you know, the world music scene as well, as Leonard Cohen inspired many around the world.
So what we're doing is every Point Blank column, probably up through the middle of next week, will also include a Leonard Cohen song, just a way to get a greater appreciation for someone who was just awfully, awfully, awfully talented.
Well, would it be fitting then? Here's the Leonard Cohen reference that the Louisville Cardinal, Bobby Petrino, the Louisville Cardinal, were singing Hallelujah after what happened on Saturday night, Dave. Yet, I can't recall ever such, you know, big upsets one after another having such little impact on the actual standings themselves, although we don't know yet. We're a couple hours away still from the playoff rankings coming out, but from what we see from the AP and the coaches poll, I would expect it to be pretty similar, Dave.
Yeah, it's just the committee's got to play politics a little bit now, because it gets a little convoluted in some places, in particular in the Big Ten. If Ohio State beats Michigan and Penn State wins their next two games, and they're going to be big favorites in both, Ohio State doesn't go to the Big Ten championship game. Penn State does. So now if someone at Penn State says, well, wait a minute, we won the conference championship, we beat Ohio State when we played them, how does Ohio State get rated ahead of us? The committee's got to play politics a little bit. Similar thing, though, with Clemson and Louisville.
Do they both get in then, Dave? Is that out of the realm of possibility? Because I got to believe a one-loss Ohio State team that even if they don't play the Big Ten championship game, would be hard to keep them out. And then, like you just said, if Penn State runs the table from here on out and they happen to win the Big Ten championship, how do you keep them out? It's not out of the realm of possibility that there are two teams from one conference that make it this year.
I think that's how they play the politics. I think they get Penn State up to number four, which hurts Washington from the Pac-12, would hurt West Virginia if they were to end up at 11-1 from the Big 12. I believe that's the way they work around it. The other way, too, watch them be politically savvy. AP poll, coaches poll have Louisville ahead of Clemson. Watch the committee probably have Clemson ahead of Louisville so they don't have to play with delicate politics there.
Well, you know, and Clemson should be ahead of Louisville. They beat them, and that's supposed to count. And I understand that the committee basically said, you know, we're not so concerned with how many losses you have or if you're undefeated, but who you've played. Yet, if it comes down to a head-to-head situation, you can't put a team that lost ahead of a team. So let's get into the Michigan situation, Big Ten related right now, because Michigan's loss to Iowa really didn't affect them in the bigger scheme of things. They beat Penn State. They beat Ohio State. They're going to the Big Ten championship game, Dave. But they lost their quarterback basically on the final snap of the game, because I was wondering. I'm like, I didn't see him get hurt, and it was on the last offensive play of the game for them. So Spade is out, and John O'Korn, the Houston Cougar transfer, is in. You know, how do you rate Michigan's chances with the new quarterback now?
I don't think they lose all that much. Here's where they get the break, though, is that they get to play him before the Ohio State game. If they were playing Ohio State this week, that would be real tough on his first start. Instead, they get to ease him a little bit, which will help. I think where the committee's going to have a problem, though, on that assumption on things like Clemson beating Louisville, the game was at Clemson, and it went down to the last play. You know, Louisville down at the 1 or 2 yard line. They're allowed to say, okay, did Clemson beat them because Clemson was better, or did Clemson beat them because the luck of the draw had the game at Clemson? And that's where they can be a little careful with this. Like I said, I think Ohio State goes in ahead of Penn State, if I'm voting. Yeah, Penn State won the game, but look at how the game was played. If it's on a neutral field or if it's in Columbus, Penn State doesn't win it. So I think sometimes they're allowed to play through the head-to-head if they believe that the head-to-head relied too much on the home field.
Dave, a game on the board tonight that doesn't have an impact on the college football playoff situation, but a big MAC game nevertheless, as Frank Solich has just done a heck of a job with this Ohio Bobcat program over the years. It's not easy. It can't be easy to recruit there, Dave, but he finds a way to put out a quality program on the field, and this is a pretty good team that he has this year. They win this game tonight. They win the MAC East. Central Michigan have been real good to me over the years. They've been a go-to for me. I like betting on these guys, Dave, but they've been in a free fall for the last about 5 weeks or so. You know, they still have a shot to become bowl eligible next week against Eastern Michigan. Ohio on a roll right now coming into Mount Pleasant. What's your take on this game?
Here's one to look for the emotions and the things that get outside of the usual handicapping realm. Senior night. I think it means a little more here than usual. Cooper Rush, the Central Michigan quarterback, has been a four-year starter. This is his last go-around. But he's a different cat when it comes to college football. He's one of 12 finalists for the Scholar of the Year Award the National Football Foundation gives out. So this is a real student. And I think if you're a real student and you have been going to class hard at that university for 4 years, there is an added level of emotion, not just for you, but now the team wants to go and win it for you tonight. So I wouldn't be surprised if Central got that win tonight. Their talent is as good as Ohio's. They just fell off a little bit the last couple. I think they can get it back with the right focus. And I think senior night for Cooper Rush gets them that focus.
Dave, let's talk some college basketball, as the college basketball season is off off and running. There's been various rule changes. Well, I guess let's call them points of emphasis, right? Because they're only allowed to change the rules every 2 years, but they can enforce things. So let's call them rule changes, or at least points of emphasis that the referees are going to be looking for. They're going to call traveling a lot more now. Although I don't find that college kids travel. I think they already travel less than the NBA. I think the NBA guys travel way more. They're going to call more double fouls because there's a lot of contact under the basket in the college game. They want more natural movement so you can't impede. They're going to call a foul if you impede a player, sort of the picks and the blocks, the impediment of a player with the ball. But, you know, watching the first week here, Dave, my naked eye hasn't really caught anything. I don't really notice any big changes in the numbers like we did when they did in the NIT a couple of years ago when they shortened the shot clock before everybody did it. And we saw, wow, yeah, there are more points on the board right now. Am I missing something? Is there anything to watch with the rule changes?
I think it's the officials, the games that we see earlier, the high-profile games, and let's say like the doubleheader at Madison Square Garden tonight, the officials don't want to enforce that much because they know that they're there to put on a show. This is a showcase for the sport, and the last thing they want to do is bog down. And of course, at Madison Square, you've got two good up-tempo games. They don't want to bog them down with too many whistles.
All right, so let's start off with the Spartans and the Wildcats. Kentucky, as always, Kentucky has a slew of future NBA prospects on the floor. I'm hearing three of them, Dave. Meanwhile, we got Michigan State, who fell short against Arizona. Michigan State, young basketball team, not as much talent. It's deja vu all over again. We know that Izzo likes to battle tough early to harden his kids. It's a number too high, though, right now. It's 7.5.
You know, I think it is because I think the one area where Kentucky might be a little vulnerable this year, the toughness factor. And Michigan State isn't as talented, but the Spartans are tougher. So what I'm going to look for in this one is maybe Michigan State to get more offensive rebounds, to get more loose balls, to be a little more physical. That's a good way to hang around in a spot like this, keeping in mind that Michigan State got the good test against Arizona already under their belts. The Kentucky kids just had a couple of walkovers. They haven't been pushed around or challenged by anybody yet. I think Michigan State can be in this tonight just on being physically tougher.
Total at 154.5 in that one. And then in the Kansas-Duke game, an incredibly high 168.5. Dave, what's your take on the totals?
I think it's too high in the second game. And this is a big thing to keep in mind. Duke isn't Duke yet. Three of the top seven guys in their rotation, two kids that would be starting and one that might be the sixth man off the bench, aren't available yet. So Mike Krzyzewski really only has a six-player rotation. He can't be pushing a whole lot of tempo right now. I mean, the six kids that will play have a tight chemistry, so they're going to play good, smart basketball, but they don't have fouls to give. They can't substitute that much. This total sitting out there, too, I mean, they could run up and down the court, have it go 84-82, and that's still an under. So I think that total is too high for the pace Duke's going to be playing the game at.
And Duke are without Tatum and Bolden tonight, Dave. So how good are these kids going to be? I hear a lot of hype about them.
You know, the problem is when you lose them this early, you're losing development time. And that's so critical with freshmen. You're losing preseason practice. You're losing some of these showdown games. If everyone was healthy, Duke would have been number one this year. I don't know if they can get to the level they had a chance to be at because you can't replace the development time those kids are missing right now.
All right, Dave, so let's talk some NFL football. I did a little opinion piece off the top of the program, and I've seen that the mainstream media is all over the Dallas Cowboy bandwagon right now. And I've been on the Cowboys bandwagon for a while, too, but we're seeing the movement as far as the Super Bowl futures are concerned. Pokes now plus 500 only, Dave, second choice on the board. Patriots are still overwhelming favorites, but don't look now, but that team from the Pacific Northwest, big win on Sunday night. tonight. I think a lot of people were down on them because Buffalo went up and down the field against them last Monday night in the Seattle Seahawks. But, Dave, it's all about the swagger, and you can tell that defense is getting that swagger back right now. They're getting healthier. The O-line isn't great, but they've gone from atrocious to mediocre, and they're giving Wilson a little bit of time to scramble and to make plays with his feet and not run, but make plays down the field. I like how Seattle's starting to gel right now, and they are 6-2-1, so there's a legitimate chance they're going to lock up home field, Dave. Maybe they don't have the bye like the Cowboys do, but they're right there.
Yeah, there is a fight for them to still be able to catch Dallas for home field, and it matters so much because that is a tough, tough place to go up and win a playoff game. Wilson healthy, Kim Chancellor's back, they're going to be getting Bennett back, Thomas Rawls at running back is going to return. That was the key for Seattle, is to hang in. While they weren't healthy, they managed to do that. So I think they will emerge to being the best team in the NFC come playoff time. The question, though, is whether they can get that home field. They've got some ground to make up on the Cowboys.
Are the Cowboys last year's Carolina Panthers, are they really just going to run the table here, Dave, and go 15-1 and all the way to the Super Bowl? Because generally, you look back, and any time that we pick who's going to win the Super Bowl in November, it's wrong. I mean, generally, I always believe, Dave, December's the time, maybe the second week of December, those teams just sort of click, and you can tell that the swagger's growing. Have the Cowboys peaked too early, or can they ride this through?
They're capable of getting better because Elliott and Prescott will get better. They're going to learn more. They're going to be able to tweak the offense more around them. So they can get better than they've been. And, of course, the single most dominating unit in the NFL, the Dallas offensive line. That's what has paved the way for this to happen. And that offensive line is still a young group. They've got a chance possibly to develop into being as good of an NFL line as there's been in NFL history if they keep this core together. And I think they will. So 3 or 4 years from now, we're going to look at that offensive line and say this is the best group of all time. That makes it a lot easier to be a quarterback or a running back.
To read Dave Malinsky's insight, go over to pregame.com. Just scroll down. It's right on the front page. You'll see Malinsky and Point Blank column. It'll make you smarter. Thanks for the time, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
There's Dave Malinsky with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Mike Cardano coming up. We'll continue talking some NFL football as well as a little college football. We got George Kurtz talking hockey. We got all that and more coming up. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's bring in Mike Cardano, who joins us via Skype from the Fantasy Sports Network studios. All right, Mike, good to see you, buddy. How you doing?
What it is. Hanging in there, buddy.
Well, you're looking professional today, Mike. What's going on?
We both got black on. That's pretty morbid.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's November, right? It's not a great time of the year. I'm not into all this astrology crap, but I'm pretty sure the stars and the planets are against me, Mike.
Did you enjoy the supermoon?
No, I didn't. I had a horrible night on Sunday. Bad weekend. It was real bad. Normally, Mike, there's one weekend a year that I look back on, I'll be like, oh yeah. And this one will be easy to remember. The week Trump won, the super moon, I lost.
Next time it's a full moon, just stay out of the action, that's all.
Well, I should stay out of the action every day, to be honest with
you. No, you should.
I've got a long list of teams I should no longer bet on, but let's jump in. I probably shouldn't bet against the Dallas Cowboys. I was on Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 408 yards, and they still end up losing the damn game. Cowboys have won 8 in a row. They're playing the Baltimore Ravens this week. The Cowboys are 7-point favorites. The total is 45 in this game. You want to talk about who the most valuable player is, what's the number one key to the Dallas Cowboys success? I asked people on Twitter earlier this morning, I did a Twitter poll, Mike, to gauge the public. We got a lot of responses, and basically about 69% of the people said that the number one reason is not Dak Prescott, it's not Ezekiel Elliott, it's not Jason Garrett, it's their offensive line. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I voted 100 times in your poll. That was me. That was all my votes.
You did, eh? So I'm wondering about this, though, Mike. Like, listen, they had a great offensive line last year, but they couldn't win because they had bad quarterback play. So I got to believe that I'm going to go with the quarterback ahead of the offensive line.
Well, take a look at their third. Dak Prescott's third in yards per attempt, a little over 8 1/3. He's ninth in completion percentage at 66%, 66.8. He's fourth in quarterback rating at 106.2 and 14-2 touchdown interception ratio. He's been sacked only 13 times. You can't do those things unless your line is blocking for you, particularly not as a rookie. And the other thing is you look at Ezekiel Elliott. He's second in attempts at 198 behind Melvin Gordon, 217. He leads in yardage. He's over 1,000, over 5 yards per carry, over 110 yards per game. Those two things together means the line is doing all the work here. So to me, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, Dak Prescott has been so impressive. Elliott is getting better with each week that passes. The O-line, you know, we just had Dave Malinsky on. He says it might be the best offensive line ever right now. But are the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl, yes or no?
I'm going to say no, unless they can play against somebody like Pittsburgh where they go for 2 points every time and screw up the game script.
Yeah, I was saying, how stupid is that, Mike? Like, I felt like I was watching a damn Oregon Duck college football game. You go for two all the time. They left 4 points on the field. Changes everything. They lost by five. It changed everything. Like,
I don't know what this guy has against kicking field goals, but to me, it changes the whole thing. There were six missed 2-point conversion attempts, because then that forced Dallas to go for two as well. And that's crazy. And then they were chasing this thing the whole game. It changed the play calling. It changed the way the game is played.
Yeah, you start off the game, you get a quick touchdown. You get a quick touchdown.
You got flames going on there?
I'm about to lose it, man. We got people yelling in the hallway. We got alarms going off. It never ends, Cardano. I got to tell you.
No babies today?
People wonder why I'm stressed. No, there's no babies today. Not yet.
I'll talk to Mr. DeFino. We'll get this fixed.
Yeah, not yet. All right. So I don't even remember. What were we even talking about? Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers. You see this? I'm all rattled now. I'm going to start throwing things soon.
So it changed all the games.
Yeah, going for two all the time. I knew you start off the game strong. You go for two. You kill the momentum right out of the gate. Yeah, so there's a big difference between 6-0 and 7-0. Yeah, and then you had 12. It was ridiculous. It was just stupid.
Well, the other thing is, you know, and even if the game script stayed the same, Pittsburgh could have then come down the field and just played for a field goal and went there and let the clock run down, not give the ball back to Dallas.
No, you're exactly right. All right, so let's talk about what the best division in football is, Mike. I'm going to start off by telling you that the best division in football by far is the AFC West. The AFC West, three teams in the AFC West have 7 wins. One of them's got a 4-6 record in the San Diego Chargers. I think the Chargers are better than a 4-6. The Chargers are probably a 5-5 football team in all actuality. But I don't think there's any debate. I think the best division in football is the AFC West. What do you think the best division is?
Well, you know, here's an intriguing thing. The Chiefs are 17-2 in their last 19 games.
Yep.
Alex Smith, since 2011, I know he's a game manager, call him whatever you want, he's 55-23. He wins 70% of all the games he plays. After that awful start that he had to his career, he's 20 games over 500. So, you know, to me, the Chiefs are somebody nobody's talking about. They do have those three teams there. To me, I think that, you know, the big surprise here is obviously Dallas's record. And I'm not sure that Dallas's offense isn't their best defense and the amount of time that they keep the ball, because we're all surprised at their defense this year. And to me, that's the big story. But I don't know that their offense is their best defense. So when their defense is put on the spot, let's face it, Pittsburgh was ever able to score at them will. So I don't know. It looks to me like Philly has the best defense in that division. I'm going to have to go with you here. And then there's a wild card here. The Raiders, nobody expected them to be doing what they're doing. And I think that nobody is giving the Chiefs any credit here. 17-2 is nothing to sneeze at.
No, you're right.
Broncos, to me, they're not going anywhere. They have no offense. It's almost, now they're not going to.
You can't write them off, though. So out of those three teams, you rank in a power ranking out of the three. Listen, the Chiefs beat the Raiders. So
I'm going to say Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos in that order.
Are the Raiders, my deal with the Raiders is, and you got to buy into what the Raiders are doing, but their defense isn't very good. They give up like 25 points a game. They can run the ball a little bit, but they're a pass-happy offense. Their success is they need to throw the football. Are they going to be able to do that, like, let's say on the road? Like, if the playoffs started right now, Mike, the Raiders are at the Baltimore Ravens. You know, the playoffs are all whacked out, man. The Detroit Lions would be hosting the Giants if the playoffs started right now. But can Oakland be successful on the road in cold weather playing the way that they do? I'm not so sure they can.
We're going to find out. I mean, that's why I kind of give the Chiefs the edge here. Listen, the Chiefs do it with no running backs. They'll put anybody back there. And he doesn't throw the ball down the field either. So they're playing, you know, managing the clock and playing defense. And they kind of throw it when they need to. And that seems to be the recipe.
Yeah, you know, the Raiders are playing the Houston Texans in Mexico City on Monday Night Football. That's going to be off the hook, man. I don't even know how many people that stadium holds. Like 125,000 or something ridiculous.
Clear this for Trump?
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, if Trump finds out, he's going to have a heart attack. He's going to cancel the game, Mike.
He better not build a wall while they're gone.
No, he's going to tell him, you guys stay there. What? NFL in Mexico? Trump's going to have a heart attack if he finds out. Just like Urban Meyer nearly had a heart attack. He was unaware. And I got to tell you, you got to wake up pretty freaking early in the morning, man, to pull a fast one on Urban Meyer. But Urban Meyer was asked in a press conference earlier in the week, what do you think about Alabama using former NFL players or current NFL players to help coach their players and get ready for games on the practice? And he was like, come again? What are they doing? He said, what? And they said, yeah, man, they had Trent Richardson in there and Blake Sims, and they got all these guys coming in here, and they're on the coaching staff.
They're not on the coaching staff. They're on the scout team. They're running the
plays. Yeah, well, they're coaches, as in, yeah. But you're right. So you got Sims, who is an elite quarterback, coming in here and running the scout team. You got Trent Richardson coming in and coaching the running backs. Yet it's legal as long as they went to the school. The best part of this to me is that it's legal to do this, Mike, if you don't announce it.
Yeah
no kidding. You think Saban wants to announce this? Like right now, like right away, Urban Meyer said, well, we're going to look into this and find out what NFL players we can get here.
I don't see what's amateur about that. I'm like, how is that rule even a rule? Like, what is amateur about that? You're taking professionals, you're suiting them up in pads, and you're putting them on the practice field for these guys to go against. What is amateur about that? I don't understand it.
So, like, for Michigan, like, why don't we just get Tom Brady to come in? Like, when he was suspended, like, it's funny, because Brady probably would have liked the workout. He was the honorary captain at a Michigan game. He was hanging out down there. He's buddies with Harbaugh. Harbaugh didn't know the rule. You imagine? He could have said, hey, Tom, you want to coach our quarterback? Backs. You imagine that if you're a Michigan. But this isn't right, Mike, for recruiting and everything. Because now behind the scenes, if you're Michigan, you'll tell kids, listen, yeah, we're going to get Tom Brady to come in once a year, too, and coach you. Right now, it just opens the door. Like, Brian Kelly in Notre Dame, who I don't like, but Brian Kelly had the same take as you. He's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. How the hell can you have pros working on the field here?
So here's what needs to happen here. If the Democrats don't like Trump, they need to run a Belichick Saban ticket next time, and maybe they'll have a shot.
No, Belichick supported Trump.
It doesn't matter. He just needs to run for something.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Democratic coaches out there.
I don't know. I don't know how the rule is that way, but he's taking advantage of the rule.
He's smart to do it, but get this. Yeah. He wasn't the one that found out. Sonny Dykes did it first at Cal.
Oh, Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch has been working out with the Cal team.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
He's the last guy that should be around college kids.
Yeah, he just was going there to bring Skittles. They asked him to run a couple plays.
Yeah, what's he? You know, seriously, what's Marshawn Lynch like? He's gonna tell him if you guys ever make it to the NFL, he's gonna tell Davis Webb, don't talk to the media, man. All right, we got to get out of here. Saints Panthers, man, I'm done with the Panthers. I'll take the Saints.
Primetime game. I don't think the Saints give this one up, but I don't think they cover. I saw 3.5. I don't think they win by 3.5.
All right, Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks.
All right, take care.
George Kurtz, another Roto expert, joins us next. We talk some NHL hockey. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency, and I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. But nevertheless, let's talk some hockey. All right, we haven't talked hockey in a couple of days, and I gave you a hockey pick a couple of times last week, but I got a couple of puck picks for you tonight. Let's bring in George Kurtz, Roto expert, best fantasy Roto expert for pucks that there is. George, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm always happy to talk a little hockey with you, Gabe.
All right, let's jump right in right now, man. You know, as a gambling man, I'm surprised that the Montreal Canadiens are 10-0 on their home ice at the Bell Center, yet they're only a -140 favorite tonight. Carey Price, like, we knew this guy was good, but it's unbelievable. Like, his goals against average is 140. His save percentage, 957. 957. I don't know. It's not normal. It's not even a normal number, 957.
He's insane, Gabe. And listen, if I'm starting a DFS team, I don't understand how you can't. I mean, how can you not have Price? I don't care if he's 8,300 on DraftKings. I'm paying the price. He's in my starting lineup. He's a shutout waiting to happen. I mean, Florida's a beat-up team on offense. You know, they've got a couple of injuries. No Hugo Huberto. He's out. You know, you're not going to have to worry about him. And he's a big part of that offense. And they're not a great goal-scoring team anyway. You know, it's like this is a team you're worried about that's going to score 4 or 5 goals on a night anyway. Bukestad, another center, gone for Florida. Price is an automatic start for me in any DFS lineup.
Well, you know, the Montreal Canadian fans, most of them were unhappy as far as the trade was concerned. You don't hear them crying anymore about this deal because of their early season success and the fact of, you know, that nobody saw this coming. The fact that Shea Weber would have 7 goals right now, George. I mean, that's just bonus offensive production that they're getting from him. And I got to give them credit. They talked about they needed some leadership in the room, and it's clear Pacioretty's not going to provide that leadership for them. Weber, just being who he is and how he goes about his business, is providing that.
And that's surprising for a player to go to a new team. He's only been there a month, you know, 6 weeks, and to have that kind of leadership and have this kind of season so far, I think we may have underestimated Weber coming in. This guy has been a top 5 NHL defenseman, fantasy defenseman for most of his career. He's got that shot his shot is hard. You don't want to get anywhere near that shot of his. If he get a one-timer off, it may not be as hard as Subban's, but it's pretty close, and he's putting the puck in the net. He's giving Montreal everything they could have wanted him to steal and more. I still think the Canadians may regret this deal down the line. There's an age difference there between Weber and Subban, but right now, I mean, Montreal has got to be thrilled with what's working out this year between what Shea Weber's giving them.
All right, you know, they're also thrilled. Radulov is not playing tonight. He's banged up or he's sick. Radulov not playing tonight, but 14 points for Radulov. Everything the Canadians have hit, all the buttons they're pushing, have worked so far.
I mean, you're absolutely right about Radulov. He's a guy who always had talent, but he had massive immaturity. I mean, in Nashville, gave him a couple of shots, didn't work out, and that's a shame because this guy has the talent. I'm not talking Sidney Crosby, Jenny Malkin, Jamie Benn talent, but maybe the next tier, next level down. And maybe it took going to a team like Montreal. Because, you know, when you think hockey, you know, for people who don't watch hockey, the Canadians are the equivalent of the New York Yankees, of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, that's what the Canadians are to hockey, and maybe that's what it took for him to go to a team like that, with a history like that, with a heritage like that. Now, he won't play tonight. There is an illness there, so you're not starting him tonight anyway. But this is a guy, if he gets better and even more comfortable as the season goes on, the 60, 70 points really surprise you? It shouldn't.
You know, Russian players are very comfortable playing in Quebec, and it's hard for the Montreal Canadiens to get players, even Canadian-born players. Hell, even Quebec-born players don't want to play in Quebec because of the pressure, English guys, because of the language barrier. But if you're a Russian guy, and you know, a Russian guy's going to be happier in Montreal with a European culture and five-star restaurants than he will be in Columbus. You know what I'm saying? You know, we've seen this in the past. So guys that can be a little prickly, that's why the Canadians always try to target European players if they can. Quickly on the way out before we get to the Rangers situation, how about Marchessault? Like, what the hell is going on here, man? Kid's on fire. 8 goals his previous career high was 7 before.
Yeah, this is, I think this is where you're going to see. So you're going to see some adjustment happening. I'll ride him while he's hot. You know, so I'm not pulling him out of my lineup. So I'm going to take that. But if you're in a year-long league, sell high. This guy screams sell high to me. Now, obviously, he's going to have a career year, but he's not going to sustain this. This is not a guy who was a top prospect that we were waiting for. He was a prospect, but not, you know, the next. He's not Austin Matthews. If you own him, I think you want to move on him. DFS-wise, though, his price is going up. But if you can get him cheap enough, I have no problem. Once again, starting him while he's hot. But year-long, I want to move on.
All right, the Montreal Canadiens are getting a lot of publicity. They're coming off a loss to the Blackhawks on the road, but they haven't lost at home. But are the New York Rangers actually a more complete and better hockey team right now, George?
I don't know how the Rangers are doing it. I mean, well, some of us, and me included, I had the Rangers at a borderline playoff team coming into the season. Borderline. Because when you look at them, they don't have really a top-line player. I mean, who is their best forward? You know, I mean, they have so many guys playing above their heads. Kreider, Zibanejad, Miller. I mean, you go on and on. I mean, they have Rick Nash, but he was disappointing last year. We didn't know what he would bring this season. But everyone's performing up the capabilities for this team. Now, team-wise, I wonder if this, you know, levels off as the season goes on. They're certainly not going to average 4.2 goals a game for the entire season. No one does that in today's NHL. So that will come down. Will Lundqvist tire again as the season rolls on? We saw that last year, where he's not quite the goalie he was 3-4 years ago, but then who is? As we get older, we don't play as well. So I like the Rangers, but I don't see them continuing this level of play throughout the entire season.
They get the Vancouver Canucks tonight. The Rangers have won 7 of their last 8 games. The one loss to the Vancouver Canucks. They lost last week 5-3. At the world's most famous. So it's a revenge spot tonight. I think the Rangers get it done tonight, George.
Absolutely. I can't believe they lost. I think it was last Tuesday to Vancouver. That was a shock. I mean, you mentioned 7 of 8. If you were to pick that one loss, it wouldn't be to Vancouver.
I know.
They win tonight. I agree.
Okay, so let's talk about a team on the other side of the bridge and tunnel here with the Devils. Devils are going to Texas tonight. They're taking on the Dallas Stars. Stars are banged up tonight. Spezza out. Sharp out. Yuri Hudler out tonight for the Dallas Stars. But Taylor Hall is out for the Devils right now as well. What's your take on this game? You take on the game and take from a DFS standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I like them all. Jamie Benn and Seguin playing well. They're going to cost you a ton of money, but they're playing well now. I hear Spezza actually might play tonight now. That may have changed. Sharp is definitely out. The guy I want here, Patrick Eves, a little lower money price there. Winger you can get a little cheaper, playing on that top line with Seguin, with Benn. Now, if Spezza does play, maybe they change things around a little bit. Maybe Spezza plays on that top line, or maybe Eves goes down to the second line to give them some balanced scoring. So like I said, you want to be careful there and check that out. But I think the difference here for me is Corey Schneider versus the Emmy Lettinen, and I don't care which one starts for Dallas. I'm always going to vote on Schneider. I am going to worry, however, could the Devils, you know, will it be a 2-1 game? In that case, I might go towards my Stars here, but I love Corey Schneider. I think he's maybe the best goalie in the NHL that doesn't get the love because of the team he plays on. Devils not very good, not very sexy, don't score goals here. So I like my top-end players, but I'm not going to pay the price. I'm not going to pay the price for Benn, not going to pay the price for Seguin, but I do like someone like Patrick Eves.
Yeah, you know, as far as Corey Schneider is concerned, I was going to say, I'll talk about Carey Price carrying them, but Corey Schneider just dominant. Like, you know, would be like a most valuable player if not for Carey Price. You take Corey Schneider off the Devils, there's no way in hell they're 8-3-3.
No, I mean, that has to be one of the worst trades. I mean, why Vancouver gave away? I mean, they gave away. I know they got a first-round pick, but you don't trade a franchise goaltender like Schneider. I truly believe if Schneider played on Montreal, that record would be the same. Schneider is a really good goaltender. Like, it's a bad team. They
you
don't
know
score.
What's amazing, Giorgio, with the Canucks, they had Luongo and Schneider. They didn't know what to do, and they end up losing both of them.
Right, get rid of both. Great. Great.
Great. And then they're like, all right, and now we better pay Ryan Miller a lot of money. And, you know, Miller's actually hasn't been the problem there, but they didn't have to do that. They already had Corey Schneider in the organization.
No, that was a... Oh, we're on TV here. We can't use the word that we that it was, but it was a mess. A disaster, really. Okay. That's the kind of move that gets your GM fired.
The thing with the Devils is they're not a flashy team, as you stated. They're not a flashy organization, but they do have some players that are productive. They're not like fantasy stars, but they're type of dudes that maybe you can fill in on a light night or you're looking to, you know, to plug someone in. And I'm looking at Severson here, defenseman on the Devils, you know, quietly 11 points in 14 games. That's pretty quality stuff right there, George.
What you like about teams like the Devils, I mean, you mentioned no Taylor Hall. All right, fine. That's going to hurt their offense. But they're playing the Stars. We know the Stars don't have goaltending. They don't even have very good defense. So there's going to be opportunities for the Devils to score here. It's a good matchup for them. You know, you mentioned guys like Severinsen and other low-owned play. We need cheap players somewhere, right? If you want to go for your high-priced players, you want to put your Stars in, then we need cheap players. And I like to go with cheap defensemen. And what I like about Severinsen, you mentioned, he's hot, he's scoring, he's on the number one power play unit, so he's going to get his opportunities, and he's cheap, cheap, cheap. He'll allow me to put somebody else in, a superstar in, that I want to get in there. I love him tonight.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of playing time. That's what it's about. He's getting over 20 minutes of playing time. He's getting power play time, as you stated. And that's what it comes down to. You want your players to be on the ice. Yeah, nothing's going to happen if your guy's on the bench, right? Stuff can happen.
Opportunity. Need opportunity.
All right, so we got to get out of here, George. But we got Ovechkin on the board tonight. You talked about Price. He's the one guy that's almost worth it as well, man. Just the shots on goal machine, this guy.
Yeah, I think when you say Ovechkin, if you're playing in one of those sites where you reward shots on goal, you have no choice. Ovechkin has never met a puck he didn't like to shoot, and that's all he does. And the whole team tries to get him the puck. That's the job of everybody. Get the puck to AO. Everybody knows it. His teammates know it. The opposing team knows it. It doesn't matter. Zeranski gets off 10, 12 shots a game. He's another guy. If AO plays, it's hard for me not to put him in there. I'll save someplace else.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be an interesting game tonight, actually. All right, we got to get out of here, George. Always a pleasure, man.
13 games tonight, man.
Full slate. George Kurtz, one of the Roto experts. Follow him on Twitter. Go over to the website. Check him out for some fantasy hockey advice. We'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our plays of the day, and I'm not going to lie to you. Our confidence level, meh. You know, I liked a lot of these games, and we had a couple of guests on, and they seemed like the opposite, so I don't know, man. And you know what? I know we can't afford to lose. What a screw job last night. Great with the props, but, man, that teaser, you know, depends on when you bet it, actually. You might have won. You might have got a push. It was just that frustrating last night. So anyways, let's start off with some action tonight. Central Michigan have been my friend over the years. They've been good to me, but they've also cost me a lot of money this year. I know that it's senior night tonight, but nevertheless, give me the Ohio Bobcats. They win this game. They win the MAC East. I think Solich's crew gets it done, and Central Michigan probably gets in the back door to a bowl game next week at Eastern Michigan. Toronto Raptors playing the Cleveland Cavaliers again. They played earlier this year. What was it, a three-point game? I think the Raptors are getting closer and closer. They're knocking on the door. They'll be more fired up for this game tonight. I'll take the 6 points with the Raptors. Great college basketball going on from the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, Kentucky and Michigan State. I don't like laying 7.5, but I think they're probably going to win by about 8 points. We're going to go with the over Kentucky and Michigan State, over 154. Duke in Kansas. I like Duke. Duke are shorthanded, but it doesn't matter. I think they're better than the Kansas Jayhawks. I'd rather Krzyzewski than Self in this spot. The total's incredibly high. That means they're begging us to take the under. I'm not going to do it. We're going over the number. NHL hockey. I like my picks tonight. Give me the Montreal Canadiens. They're 10-0 on home ice. Give me the New Jersey Devils on the road, and we'll take the New York Rangers revenge against the Canucks. May the winners be yours.